Hare Krishna. Everybody broke Ekadasi already? Very good. Haribo. Yes. Yeah, you have to do it right away. It's already passed. All right. Who's playing the mridanga? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banacharya. Yamuna Tira Banacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banacharya. Yamuna Tira Banacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa. Hare
Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Jago Sri Jiva Gopalako De Rupa Sanatana Raghu Jago Sri Jiva Gopalako Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Jago Sri Jiva Gopalako Jiva Gopalako
Gaur Premanandi Haribo Hare Krishna. So today we are celebrating Vamana Dwadashi, the appearance of Sri Vamanadev. Hare Krishna. This Dwadashi in which Lord Vamanadev appeared is named Vijaya. Vijay Mahadwadashi ki? Haribo. So, today we are going to read a verse from the Bhagavatam, from the 8th canto, chapter 18, Lord Vamanadev, the dwarf incarnation. Text 12. Everybody can see the verse? Very good. So please repeat. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraye Nastaprayesha Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Yattad Vapur Bhati Ibushana Yodhair Avyaktachid Vyaktam Adarayad Dharihi Bhabuva Tenaiva Savamanu Vatu Sampa Pashyator Divyagatir Yatanataha. Yatadva Purvati Bibhushana Yudhair. Avyakta Chit Vyaktma Adara Yadhari. Babu vate naiva savamano vatu. Sampashyator divya gatir yatanataha. Yattadva purvati vibhushana yudhair.
avyakta chit vyaktam adharayat darihi. Babuvate naiva sava mano vatuhu. Sampashyator divyagatir yatanataha. Yattadva purvati vibhushana yudhair. Avyakta chit vyaktam adharayat darihi. Babuvate naiva sava mano vatuhu. Sampashyator divya gatir yatanataha. Yattadva purbhati vibhushana yudhair. Avyakta chit vyaktam adharayat darihi. Babuvate naiva sava mano vatu. Sampashyator divya gatir yatanataha.
Very good. Please repeat translation word by word. Yat, which, tat, that, vapuhu, transcendental body, bhati, manifests, vibhushana, with regular ornaments, ayodhai, and with weapons, avyakta, unmanifested, chidvyaktam, spiritually manifested, adharayat, assumed, hari, the Lord, babuva, immediately became, tena, with that, eva, certainly, sa, he, the Lord, vamana, dwarf, vatu, brahmana, brahmachari, sampashyato, while both his father and mother were seeing divyagati, whose movements are wonderful, yata, as nataha, a theatrical actor. Translation. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands, although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport. The word nataha is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita 5:33-39, the Lord assumes many thousand and millions of forms. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramadi murtishu kalanyamena tishtan nanavataram akarot bhuvaneshu kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency.
the same eternity and the same spiritual existence, but he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayana, with four hands, equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into Brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Jamma karma chamedivyam evam yovetitattvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body. Sachit ananda vigraha. So, this pastime of Lord Vamanadev is very, very instructive to all of us, because teaches about loving surrender to the Lord, full surrender, exemplified by his pure devotee Bali Maharaj. So, the devatas and the asuras, they are always fighting since the beginning of creation. So, the asuras became very powerful, because they were obedient to their guru. But rather, the demigods, they sometimes misbehave. And because of that, they lost their power, and they were defeated by Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was the king of the asuras. But he was not asura himself, he was not demon, he was devotee. He's the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So he imbibed from his grandfather pure devotion to the Lord. But since he appeared in the dynasty of the asuras, so he was ruling them, and he was being guided by the guru of the asuras. What is his name? Sukracharya. So, Aditi was praying to the Lord, please appear as my son. So, and please help the demigods recover their heavenly planets that were taken from them by the asuras. So the Lord was pleased with her. She made all kinds of austerities and penance to please the Lord. And the Lord agreed. He appeared to her and promised her he will appear as her son. And he did. So first he appeared in his form as Vishnu, four-armed with all the symbols, all the ornaments, very beautiful. And by their prayer he assumed the form of Vamanadev, dwarf Brahmachari. Usually dwarfs are not so beautiful, but this particular dwarf was very beautiful. Described in the Bhagavatam that his hair was blonde. And he received different gifts from the demigods. Each demigod and demigoddess were giving some gifts to Vamanadev. Some gave a nice umbrella, some gave a belt, deer skin, different ornaments when offered as a present. And the Lord very kindly accepted their offerings. So, then, that means the Lord can change his form. His body is not material. Nobody can, has a material body, can change his form. Only in science fiction movies you see these things, that somebody changes body to different form. They call it shapeshifters. But that's only in science fiction. It's not real. Anyway, so But the Lord Vishnu, he appeared and took the form Vamanadev. And some people foolishly think when the Lord comes to this material world, he takes a material body. But that's less, Prabhupada said, they are not intelligent. But somebody who assumed Krishna came to this world, and less intelligent people, they think, he came to this world, he must have a material body, because you can't be in the material world without the material body. That's their understanding, their logic. But Krishna is not under the laws of material nature. He's the master of material nature. He can do whatever he wants. He can come, go, anytime he wants. He can come in the material world with his own spiritual body. He doesn't have to change body. But he can make a spiritual body be seen by everyone if he wants to. So many people saw Krishna, but not everyone understood that he was the Supreme Lord. In the same way, Bhavanadev, he appeared in the heavenly planets, not in this planet. He appeared in Indralok, where Bali Maharaj was ruling. He took over the throne of Indradev. Indradev was kept, hiding, running away. So, Lord Vamanadev, he walked toward Bali Maharaj Palace, and they were doing yagya. And Bali Maharaj was giving charity to the Brahmanas. So he came to ask for charity. I mean, he's the Supreme Lord. He could take everything away immediately. But he didn't want it to do it like that. He likes to do wonderful pastimes. Enjoys that more. And he arrived, and also to show the world how Bali Maharaj is not a demon, but a great devotee. So, I mean, Bali Maharaj took great risk to please the Lord. So when Svatu, Brahmachari, dwarf, arrived, and Bali Maharaj offered him charity. You're a Brahmana, please. What you like, house, gold, wife, land, grains, cows, anything you want, I will give you. Vamanadev said, thank you very much. I don't want to be a greedy Brahmana. I just want only three steps of land. Bali Maharaj laughed. Why you want so little? Oh, I only need it to make a kunda, to make a yagya, to please Lord Vishnu. That's all I need it for. Personally, I don't need any land for myself. But for the service of the Lord, I want 3 steps so I can make this yagya. Then Shukracharya was there, and he could notice something wasn't right. For him, wasn't right. And he whispered in Bali Maharaj's ear, this is Vishnu in disguise. Don't give him anything. He will take away everything. Don't do it. Don't give him any charity. Then Bali Maharaj became a little bewildered. I mean, if this is Lord Vishnu coming to ask me for charity, first, my guru told me, do yagya, please Lord Vishnu, so you take over the heavenly planet. Now Lord Vishnu coming to ask from me, and he's telling me to deny him. Something wrong is here. This guru is not right. That means very intelligent. A guru can't go against the Shastra, otherwise he's not guru. Not bona fide guru. Prabhupada said there is no such thing as good guru or bad guru. If somebody is bad, he can't be guru. That's simple. He's not guru. That's simple. He may be fake, but it's not real. So many people pose as gurus, but they don't even know the truth about Krishna. They teach their follower, Oh yes, Krishna is God, but you are also God, I am God. God is everything is God. Such foolish people. Blind, leading the blind. So anyway, so Bali Maharaj, after thinking it very truly, he decided to disobey his guru. Generally, it's offense to disobey the guru, but not in this case. Not in this case. Because the guru went against the principles of bhakti, which means to surrender to the Lord, to serve the Lord. Then he was rejected. Rightly rejected. Rightly rejected. So, and then Bali Maharaj was gonna, you know, do achman and wash his hand to give the charity, and to wash Vamanadev's hand also to give him the charity. But Shukracharya, by his mystic power, he obstructed the water to come out of the lota. The water would not come out. Why Shukracharya then wanted to give to Vamanadev the charity? Because he depended on his maintenance on Bali Maharaj. And he thought, if Bali Maharaj become poor, I will suffer also. My family will suffer also. So he was thinking in a selfish way, with material calculation. That means he wasn't pure devotee. But Bali Maharaj was a pure devotee. He agreed immediately. But then Vamanadev took a kusha grass and pierced the lotus hole, and piercing the eye of Shukracharya, his eye became red. And the water came out. So he washed and gave the charity. Next to Bali Maharaj, there was a sister, Ratnamala. When she saw Vamanadev coming to the yagya, she felt so much motherly love for him that milk started to flow from her breast. As a mother, she felt so much motherly affection for Vamanadev. But when Vamanadev received the charity, he assumed Vishvarup, universal form, immediately. And with two steps, he covered all the universe. With the second step, he pierced the covering of the universe. And the Karana ocean water came in. Karana ocean is where Mahavishnu's lie, you know. Karanodakashai Vishnu. So that water is spiritual. It's not from this material world. It's from the spiritual world. And this water washed the lotus feet of Vamanadev and came into the heavenly planet. And that became the Ganges River. Gangamata. So, and then Vamanadev arrested Bali Maharaj with the Basuki serpent around his body, was arrested. Garuda came and put the snake around him. Why he was arrested? Because he didn't fulfill his promise. He promised three steps. And Vamanadev told him, I took two. Where am I supposed to put the third step? You're a cheater. You can't fulfill your promises. So he was arrested. Bali Maharaj was very much fearful of not fulfilling his promise to the Lord. He was very much aggrieved. Not because he was arrested, but rather because he wasn't able to give the three steps to the Lord. The two, he took everything. What else he can offer? Then he offered himself. My dear Lord, please put your third step on my head. That's Atma Nivedam, full surrender. Apparently, Vamanadeva is cruel. He took away everything from Bali Maharaj and gave it back to Indradev. So apparently Indradev was the winner and Bali Maharaj was the loser. But it's not like that. Apparently it may look like that, but it is not. Vamanadeva is a very merciful incarnation. Very merciful. Because he gave the opportunity to Bali Maharaj to fully surrender. And Bali Maharaj very wisely took that opportunity to show how pure devotion is the highest thing, more than material possessions. And many people worship the Lord to get some material benefits, but they are less intelligent. Real intelligence is surrender to the Lord. Accept Him as my protector, my owner, my maintainer, my best friend, my worshipable deity, my all in all. That's pure bhakti. So Bali Maharaj is a perfect example of that by surrendering to the Lord. And what the Lord did when Bali Maharaj surrendered, He pushed him. He put his foot on his head and pushed him down to Rasatala. But He promised him, I will be there as your doorkeeper. You will always have my protection. You will always have my association. You will always be able to serve me. And Rasatala was having more material opulence than Indralok. By the mercy of the Lord, he got much more opulence there. So Bali Maharaj was never a loser. On the other side, Indradev, he got back the heavenly kingdom, but what was his gain? Material only. So this is the teaching. Then when Ratnamala, Bali Maharaj's sister, she saw that Bali Vamanadev took all over the universe, took everything from Bali Maharaj, she became angry at him. And she thought, if I will have poison, I will poison this boy. And in her next life, she came as Putana, offering the breast milk and also the poison, the two. And Krishna knows everything, past life of everyone, past, present, future of every living entity. So he knew who she was. But he accepted. Her first feeling was to be mother, to give me her breast milk. That's most important. The first impression is the most important impression. So Krishna took that into consideration first. Later she became angry, but I'm going to free her from that anger, purify her from that evil mentality by freeing her from this demon-like body. So Krishna let her, but by killing Putana, Krishna, when she came as a very beautiful lady. All the Brijavasi thought, oh, she looks like goddess of fortune coming to see her husband Madhava. And when she asked to hold baby Krishna, oh, Yashoda very happily gave it to her. Yeah, please do. But Krishna was with his eyes closed, like very innocent baby. Different acharya gave different meaning why Krishna closed his eyes. One meaning, Krishna wanted to appear very innocent boy, couldn't harm anyone. So he closed his eye like sleeping. So he gave her assurance that she could kill him. Second reason he closed his eyes, that Krishna was angry at her because she killed many babies by sucking their blood. So Krishna didn't want to see her face, so he closed his eyes. The third reason Krishna closed his eyes was that he wanted to kill her. And since in the Vedas it is prohibited to kill women, Krishna closed his eyes. So he will not see her while killing her. But anyway, he gave her a position as a mother in Goloka. She became nurse, assisting Mother Yashoda. Just see how kind and merciful is Krishna. Somebody come to kill him and he gave him, give her such a high position in the spiritual world. So fortunate. So kind is Krishna. So Bhavanadeva is very, very merciful incarnation of the Lord. She'll pray to him that take away any things you want from me. Just give me bhakti. pure devotion to the Lord. And today also is the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. You know, Srila Jiva Goswami, in the Gorganodesh Deepika, it is explained that in Krishna Lila he is known as Vilas Manjari. He was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. His father, Ballava, later he was initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Anupama. So Jiva Goswami was born in the town known as Ramakeli, where his father and uncles lived. From a very young age, he was very attached to Srimad Bhagavata. He will not sleep as a little boy unless he will embrace. He had a Krishna Balaram like toy playing with them, but he will not sleep unless he hugged them to sleep. Nowadays, children, they hug their teddy bear. But Jiva Goswami will hug Krishna Balaram to sleep. So he witnessed when his father and Rupa and Sanatan were initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a little boy. He had darshan of Lord Chaitanya when he was a little boy. And he went to Navadvipa when he was a young man. And he met Nityananda Prabhu and all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, Sachimata and many others. And Nityananda Prabhu gave him a tour on the all holy places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Very fortunate, Jiva Goswami. He's the youngest of all the six Goswamis. So then he went to study Sanskrit with one big scholar. He was the brother of that is the name of that Acharya and Jagannath Puri that Lord Chaitanya converted into Vaishnava. Sarvamavata Acharya, his brother, Gopinath, no. Sarvamavata Acharya's brother is not, that is, his son-in-law was named Gopinath. Anyway, the thing is, he learned Sanskrit and studied all the scriptures, and then he went to Vrindavan. And he accepted Rupa Goswami as his guru. So he was serving Rupa Goswami menially. The Sahajas, they made three accusations against Jiva Goswami out of enviousness. The first accusation was that he was not humble. Because one debater, he came to Vrindavan. He was going town to town debating and winning, and so he became famous as big philosophical contender. So he went to Vrindavan and challenged Rupa to a philosophical debate. Rupa was not interested in any debate. He was immersed in writing books of glorifying Radha and Krishna. He said, sorry, no have time for this. Oh, then you have to sign here that I defeated you. Rupa Goswami didn't care about fame, name, and all these things. So he signed to get rid of him. And he went to Sanatana Goswami, same thing happened. So he was advertising in Vrindavan that he defeated the greatest scholars in Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatana. He is the proof. They signed. But he heard that Jiva Goswami was also known as a very great philosopher. So he wanted to have his signature also. So he went to Jiva Goswami and told him, look, I have the signature here of your guru, Rupa and Sanatana. Please, you also sign that I defeated you. But Jiva Goswami didn't sign. He said, you want a debate? Let's debate. So these ignorant sahajas, they think that Rupa and Sanatana very humbly, but Jiva Goswami wasn't humble. That's why he didn't sign. But they are foolish. They don't understand the mentality of Jiva Goswami, that I can't accept that this person falsely claiming that he defeated my guru. Isn't? So I have to challenge him, accept his challenge, debate with him, and defeat him. Because by defeating him, people will understand that his claim is false. Because if the disciple was able to defeat him, how he could defeat the guru? The guru always knows more than the disciple. So it wasn't pride on his part, but rather a proper Vaishnava etiquette. Mm-hmm. He understood the philosophy better than all these sahajyas who take things cheaply. Mm-hmm. Another false accusation against Jiva Goswami, which is completely offensive, by the way, they said that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presented Chaitanya Charitamrita to Jiva Goswami for his blessing, that Jiva Goswami felt envious and threw the Chaitanya Charitamrita into the well. And that Krishnadas, due to intense pain, because of that, he gave up his life. Unfortunately, one man named Mukunda, he saved a copy of the book. That's why we still have it. That's completely offensive and false accusation. Completely manufactured by envious people to criticize pure devotees like Jiva Goswami. The third accusation they made against Jiva Goswami, that he was against Parakiya Rasa, which is also not true. You know, Parakiya Rasa, there are two kinds of conjugal love between Krishna and the gopis. Between Krishna and his consorts. Swakiya Rasa is Krishna's relationship with the queens of Dwarka. He's married, legally married with them. But the relationship with the gopis is called Parakiya Rasa, unwedded love. No married love, just paramour, lovers. So he had some disciples, Jiva Goswami, who could not understand Parakiya Rasa. So for their spiritual benefit, he preached to them about Swakiya Rasa. But he wasn't denying Parakiya Rasa. He was just stressing to them the Swakiya Rasa. And for their benefit, he quoted one story from the Puranas, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, that when Krishna and Radharani were a little young boy and girl, and Brahma came and he married them. They assumed a young, beautiful form and he made the ceremony, the yajna, and the devatas came, but nobody knew about it. No? It was a secret marriage. So for their benefit, they told that story from the Puranas. But actually, Radha and Krishna relationship is not married. It's parakiya. It's transcendental. But this sahaja didn't understand, because he, Jiva Goswami, knew that these people will misuse this parakiya, and they think that I live with a woman without marrying her just to practice parakiya rasa. We worship Radha Krishna together like lovers, not married. That's not religious. That's immoral. Everybody has to get married to live with the opposite sex. That's the Shastra injunction. Anyway, so there was another pastime of Jiva Goswami. Once Ballabhacharya went to Vrindavan, he was old at that time, to see Rupa Goswami. So he asked Rupa Goswami, "What book are you writing?" "Oh," said, "I'm writing a book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Can I have a look at it?" "Of course, please, here." All the writing was in Sanskrit. So Ballabhacharya was a Sanskrit scholar. He was reading, and he was pointing to Rupa Goswami. "Well, I think in this here point you should change this word to this other word." And he made like 2-3 comments about changing some words. And Rupa Goswami said, "Yes, yes, whatever you like, you change, no problem." And then he asked permission to take his noon bath in the Yamuna. But Jiva Goswami was there. He heard. He was serving his guru. So he asked Ballabhacharya, "Can please show me what you thought need to be changed? I am a disciple of Rupa Goswami." "Oh, sure." He showed him. And then Jiva Goswami convinced him by quoting different shastras that this word was the perfect word to describe this particular situation. And he quoted all the different shastras to prove all the other points, 3-4 points. When Rupa Goswami came back, Ballabhacharya told him, "Oh, you must be very proud. You have such a very scholar, disciple in Jiva Goswami. He's very deep knowledge of Shastra. He convinced me that I was wrong. I was suggesting to you. I'm very happy to have met him and you too." So he left. But Rupa Goswami told Jiva Goswami, "He's old Vaishnava. You should have not contradicted him. You should let him do, you know. And for that, I'm going to ask you, stay out of Vrindavan for 1 year." So he was living in the outskirts of Vrindavan, between Mathura and Vrindavan. In the outskirts. Between. And he lived in a cave that a crocodile used to live in that cave. And he was begging little dry chapati. He had to soak them in the Yamuna River. They were so dry, he had to soak them to be able to eat them. And there he wrote, while living there, he wrote his 6 Sandarbhas, his most famous philosophical treatise of all the Gaudiya Vaishnava history. Up to today, Jiva Goswami is known as the greatest philosophers in our Gaudiya Vaishnava. He quoted from all shastras proving Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotional service, the highest pure activity of every living entity. Very beautiful. So, thank you very much for coming, hearing the glories of Sri Vanadeva and Srila Jiva Goswami. And he also, when Rupa Sanatana Goswami left this world, he became the guiding force of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, accepted him as the acharya of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And many great Vaishnava went to study under him, like Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Pandit, the principal ones. And he sent them with books to Orissa and Bengal, copies of the books of this Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, the Sri Goswami, for their benefit. Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai. Sri Vamanadeva ki jai. Now, any questions or comments? There is a mic around here. Okay, Narottamananda Prabhu. He always got to have good questions.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very good class.
Thank you.
My question has to do with Lord Vamanadeva. It's mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Vamanadeva took away Bali Maharaj's position, his material opulence, because he was materially attached.
Yes, could be. He could be attached. But the proof was surrendered, he became detached. Devotees, sometimes we can have a little attachment. I mean, Bali Maharaj, he conquered the heavenly planet with great effort. He did so many yagyas and became very powerful. He acquired special weapons, special chariot given by the, you know, heavenly beings. And he did so many things to get, you know, in his power, the heavenly planets. But when he became attached to it. But when he saw Vamanadev coming begging, his heart melted. Here is my Lord. How can I deny him anything? Even if my guru say no. He took the risk to disobey his guru. But he's praised. He became one of the 12 Mahajans, Bali Maharaj, because of his intelligence in denying his guru, because it was wrong, and then surrendering to Krishna, to Vamanadeva. Highly intelligent. The idea is, practical idea is, that devotees, they may have attachment to family, home, money, car, all these things. But devotees should remember that all these things belongs to the Lord. And they should offer all these things to the Lord's service. Shri Bhaktivinod Thakur, he prayed to the Lord, Manasa deho geho yo kichu mor arpiluntua pade nanda kishor. My dear Lord, if I work to maintain this family, this house, is because it all belongs to you. I offer you my mind, manaso, deho, my body, geho, my home. This is your wife, these are your children. Only here am I your servant. So the whole idea is not that I give up everything and walk on the street. rather, to accept that everything belongs to Krishna and has to be engaged in his service. That's the practical application. So although Bali Maharaj surrendered everything, that's pure devotee. Prabhupada said, the 9 process of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, the 8 and 9, Sakyam and Atmanivedanam, is only for pure devotees. So Bali Maharaj, being pure devotee, he practiced completely Atmanivedan, full surrender. Surrender everything, his body, his possessions, his mind, everything. So that's the perfect example. Yes.
Maharaj, my question to further this point would be that if a devotee is practicing all these things, you know, utilizing their car, their home, their family in Krishna's service,
yes,
then what's the necessity of taking sannyas, like a person like you?
There is no need to take sannyas. But there is need to take vanaprastha. Grihastha should not be all life grihastha. He can take vanaprastha along with wife. Retire from job and visit holy places at certain age, of course. Here now, retirement at 65, no? A little late, but some other countries 60, you know? But anyway, if they can retire and just engage in devotional service, no material occupation, making money, no need, retired already. So that's vanaprastha. Vanaprastha, that's yes, everyone has to take. Sannyas, no, not everyone has to take.
Hare Krishna. Any other question, comments? Very good. Here. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Haribol.
Thank you for the class. You mentioned Bali Maharaj has become Mahajan because he had intelligence to reject the Guru at the right time.
Yes.
So,
and also for surrendering fully to the Lord, yes.
Yeah, so this point, can you elaborate and tell us the importance of Guru and when you can reject? Because this can be misutilized also. Point.
No, the point is very clear that Guru, he is Guru because he followed the path of bhakti. As initiated by Shastra, Guru and Sadhu. If he go against this, then he is not to be followed. He can be rejected. He becomes antagonistic to the Lord or his devotees or devotional service. Then according to Shastra, he can be rejected. But if he's following everything fine, if he's doing everything according to his own guru and the scriptures, he should not be rejected or it will be offensive to do such a thing. Understand?
Yes. So can you please, one more question, Maharaj.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on Shukracharya's mistake, why he was supposed to be rejected?
Excuse me?
Can you please elaborate on why Shukracharya has to be rejected?
Well, Shukracharya was being rejected by Bali Maharaj because he was more interested in his own material well-being than in the service of the Lord. He didn't care for the Lord's service. He was being hypocrite. He was telling first, okay, do yajna, please Vishnu, you get so much wealth and power. And when Vishnu himself come to us, he's told, don't give him. So that's a contradiction. A guru can contradict what the Shastra said. Otherwise, he's not qualified. That simple. We can't be blind followers. We surrender through our intelligence. We don't surrender the intelligence. Understand? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, everyone. Srila Prabhupada, any other question? Okay.
Just a quick question. I was just curious, you know, when we read the Shastra, we hear some inconceivable things, and I was just wondering how we could more easily conceive of what the Shastra says. Like, for example, this universe we're in is the smallest universe.
Yes.
In the creation.
Yes.
That's very significant, because it's also full of unlimited planets.
Yes, imagine how the other universes must be.
Our little four-headed Brahma.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have to accept authority. Either we accept the authority of the scientist or accept the authority of the Vedas. It's up to us. The Vedas give much more information than the scientist. More detailed information. They can never prove it because they don't have the means to do it. And we don't accept on blind faith. We accept because you have to accept some authority. And the Vedas are known as Apaurusheya, not spoken by many human beings. They came out of the breath of Lord Vishnu, Supreme Lord, or Narayan. So this is not made by human beings.
Yeah, I mean, he's a scientist. I mean, they don't advertise their little trips to the moon or anything anymore. It was so ridiculous what they were doing to us in the 60s.
Yeah,
regard like that. And
everybody knows that now. There have been so many documentaries, and even people who work on the NASA at that time, they said that was all trick, you know.
But I just wonder when I read like what we're reading here with the with Bali Maharaj and how these dvipas are floating in this ocean. Mm-hmm. In this material universe, and there's just like so many of these amazing planets, and he possessed all these planets. Mm-hmm. I just have trouble comprehending exactly how that all, you know, manifested, that Bali Maharaj was in control of all these planets floating all over the universe.
Well, we have to chant more Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
One day we will understand the mystic power of Krishna's pure devotees.
Perfect advice.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.
His Holiness Srila Bhakti Sundar Goswami Maharaj ki jaya.